Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nick Boynton, you can follow him on Twitter at NickBoynton24. And the piece that he posted in the Players Tribune, I will warn you ahead of time, is harrowing. It is not an easy read. So, you know, for us to take the time to actually read it is different than actually having lived it and be living it, as Nick Boynton is. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
I guess what motivated you to finally feel that sharing this the way you did was something you had to do?
To be completely honest, it was more about, helping my family, maybe my kids understand what was going on, sort of in case, you know, something did happen. I wanted to get it on paper. I didn't want, there to be questions. I kind of want, you know, my wife, my family has lived and sort of dealt with this. And, I don't want to come out and say I'm blaming anybody. I played the game. I played it hard. But there's, you know, there's some real problems going on that aren't being addressed. And I just wanted to make sure get it down on paper and have those problems, out there. So,
Nick, you kind of go through in this piece what it took for you to keep on playing, whether that was things that were legal or illegal at different times in your NHL career. You've mentioned that you need, that the league needs to help guys out better. What would you like to see them, or where would you like to see them help players in terms of their place in their career? Is this a post-playing thing? Is it while they're playing the NHL?
It's a during. It's an overall culture change I think we need in the game of hockey. I completed three drug rehabs and, you know, alcohol rehab programs, and it just didn't even touch on some of the issues I was having with my head. And I applaud Alcoholics Anonymous and I applaud the league for having these treatment programs, but my head is still injured and it's not treating the problem, which is my brain injuries. And I was still dealing with the same things and just sort of, you know, in this circle that I couldn't get away from it. And it's just it's the whole culture of the league. They got to start treating these brain injuries when they happen. They have to be treated better. The spotter thing is a joke in the NHL. And guys, you know, you've got to be accountable for what you do out there. But for me, the NHL and the Players Union doesn't even acknowledge that there's really a problem with head trauma in the game, or that, you know, that could factor into post-playing days. So I think the first thing is to get the league to acknowledge and get on board and just start helping. I'm not trying to point fingers, but I need help, and I know a lot of guys need help, and we're not getting it from where we should be getting it, and that's our former employers and our unions not standing up for us.
There's some of the names that you mentioned that we know, the stories of Wade Baylock and Rick Rippon and Derek Bogard, and closer to home, Steve Montador, and of course, Daniel Carcillo, who has been on these Score airwaves talking at length about his issues. And sometimes the hard-ass hockey response is like, well, who wants to hear from these guys who, they weren't even hockey players anyway? You admit to trying to injure people and understanding what your role was as one of the sandpaper guys. Carcillo's like, yeah, I was out there being an instigator. So there are some who say, well, why should I feel sorry for you? Why should I care about you when you were admit to doing what you were doing in the way that you did it? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me, first and foremost. I know what I did, and that's that. You know, I will say I played in an NHL All-Star game. I was drafted in the first round twice. I was a good hockey player. just good wasn't enough. In order for me to stay in the league, you had to do things, and I was fully aware of what I was doing. You know, it was a paycheck. It's entertainment. I believe in entertaining. I believe there's a time and a place for a fight here and there, but the treatment's got to change. You know, take a couple pills and sleep it off. Just doesn't work. It's, you know, I'm 8-9 years later and still having these problems that came about from, you know, the way I played the game. Why can't we just get on the, why does it have to be a fight? Get on the same page, treat the problems, find new treatments, better treatments, and help the guys during their playing career, treat it better during, so afterwards there isn't, you know, there isn't these issues.
You mentioned that teams are willing to give a pill here or there, or painkillers as it was, and maybe you can kind of delineate how accessible that was. But at some point, you write in this piece that you told a team that you were having a problem, and later on you were traded. I can't imagine that felt good at the time, and I can't imagine that helps you deal with the issue. If whether it's you or another player, I can't imagine that helps you deal with the issue you're having.
No, it doesn't, and it really, you know, looking back and thinking about it now, it affected me in a horrible way. I'd opened myself up. I was having problems. It was obvious I was having problems. And the next response after opening myself up was, you know, being passed off and to another team. And it's just 99% of the people I've met in hockey and that work in hockey are good people. There's a few bad people, but the culture in hockey is to stay quiet, not talk about your problems. You're not tough if you talk about it. I at some point, I don't even care about the game. You know, these problems are, I live in Arizona. We've got 16-year-old high school football players walk off the field and die from head injuries. So that to me is bigger than the NHL, but since, you know, we're going to go there, I don't want people to feel sorry, but it's just the culture has to change. There are times when I was a kid when I bumped my head, you know, we can all think we got our bell rung and not doing anything about it. We've got to treat it. Our brain is so complex and it does everything for us. So I think it would be fair to say that we just need to invest in some new treatments and get some help from the league.
Well, I think, Nick, what you're also pointing out is the very reason why, you know, Gary Bettman won't even admit that there is a connection between heads hitting each other and hitting the boards in hockey and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and maybe why the union isn't throwing its support behind this. It's an existential threat to the very sport itself, is it not? And I'm not doubting what you're saying is true, but you're talking about, you're telling parents. I mean, I'm a hockey dad, I've seen, you know, 9-year-old kids suffer concussions. I see at the bantam level with kids just starting to hit right now, and knowing what's going on out there. And my son's a goaltender, but the goaltenders aren't immune from these things, from these, you know, now 75-80 mile an hour slap shots coming from 6'2" 13-14-year-olds. So we think about it, but there isn't the answer then get our kids out of hockey?
No, sports are great. I mean, we can, you know, sports teach kids, you know, rules, fairness, winning, losing. I love sports, and I love the sport of hockey. But to have to listen to Gary Bettman and Brian Burke and these people who everybody looks up to. I looked up to the NHL players, and I wanted to play in the league my whole life. But to listen to them and Jeremy Jacobs in Boston, too, deny that there's a problem is just infuriating to me. And that's really, you know, I was in a tough spot. Dan Carcillo found, you know, he'd been through this treatment. He stayed on me. He got me out of my funk, got me this treatment. You know, I see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm angry again, because just watching the league and how they're handling it, get on the right side of it. The league can survive. Everybody, you know, can make money, be happy, but we've got to deal with this, because it's more than hockey. It's everything, you know, mental health issues, whether they come from me getting knocked on the head or, you know, just you're born genetically, that's the way it is. We need to find better treatments for it. Throwing pills, saying there's not a problem, or, you know, throwing pills at people and saying there's not a problem isn't the answer. It's you got to be on the right side of this. I've lived it for the last, you know, 10 or 15 years on the wrong side of it, being quiet, not talking about it. And, you know, them lying about it has sort of forced me to do something about it. And this has helped me, and hopefully it helps some other people.
Well, you've written some too about the culture of just get out there and keep playing, and what that kind of culture led you to do. I can't imagine. I'm sure you've talked about it with those you've sought help with. I just drug use in and of itself cannot help a brain as it's trying to recover from injury like that. And like you said, I know you don't want anybody to feel sorry for you. You did what you did, and I find that kind of responsibility refreshing, to be honest with you. I have to imagine, though, that you're not the only one who's suffered brain injury like this in this league, in your time or this one, and gone to drugs to try and find some kind of solace. And I wonder how widespread you think that is.
I can only speak for myself, and obviously there's other guys. I think it's pretty widespread as far as when I was still playing in the league. And it's just such a difficult place. You know, you don't throw kids at or drugs at your 10-year-old, 12-year-old son, daughter when they get bumped in the head. You know what I mean? But what I faced after hockey when I talk about these problems is, well, here, take more drugs. And eventually, can't we just find out what the problem is and try to treat the problem instead of doing this with drugs? I mean, one way or another, whether they're prescribed by a doctor, the drugs will kill you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's stuff I have to take, but just more and more isn't the answer. I want to fix the problem.
You mentioned light at the end of the tunnel, and one of the things that you said in the conclusion of this long and wide-ranging essay was that being able to speak about it is now giving you something constructive. It is giving you some sense of purpose. You have Daniel Carcillo with you. You have others. What's next? How much structure are you going to have? Obviously, doing things like talking to us and letting people know helps too, but how do you continue to build meaning and increase the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I hope, first of all, what Dan's done, he's sort of been on his own for a while, and he's just done an amazing job, and you know, he's helped me a lot. So it's just another guy getting his name out there, just bringing attention to it. I hope more people speak out, because I think people will be really shocked how many guys are actually struggling, you know, after hockey from similar stuff, you know, brain injuries. Like, it's just, there's got to be more done, you know. I mean, we'll get the best surgeons in the world to fix my shoulder, but, you know, I won't even see a doctor about my head. That's just not right. The whole culture has to shift.
Well, I'd like to hear somebody currently playing. I mean, I'm just throwing out names, but we know that Jonathan Toews has had a long concussion history. We know what Corey Crawford has dealt with. See, for me, you know, Sidney Crosby himself, we heard about Chris Pronger, and even, you know, going back to Eric Lindros. At some point, somebody in the game, a major star of the game, has to put his hand up in the air and saying, I am having these problems right now. You know, I think that's where it really hits home, is if it is somebody that we're still tuning in to watch, someone who is able to be able to walk into that locker room with his head held high and be honest about going through it. Because we know it's true. We know there have to be people currently suffering.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It's a huge problem in the game. And like you said, the league and the union, obviously, you're staying away from it because it's such a big problem and poses such a great risk. But I hope, honestly, just coming out and telling this story makes it easier. You know, Dan paved the way, makes it a little bit easier for me. Hopefully, this makes it a little bit easier for a guy playing. I know there's guys struggling. It's such a difficult place to be, because you know you've only got so many years to make that kind of money. I grew up on a farm. You know, we didn't have much. And, you know, my reasoning was flawed, you know, when I was playing. And I think a lot of guys' reasoning, is like that, and it's understandable. But it'll take somebody, a big name, to come out and keep this ball rolling, I think.
Well, we certainly wish you the best, and we wish your family the best, and appreciate you doing what you did. And I'm certain that it's going to end up doing some good.
Well, thank you so much, guys, and I really appreciate you having me on.
That is Nick Boynton, again, on Twitter, at NickBoynton24, the former Blackhawk and former NHLer.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.